hand and put the copy onto the computer.
So, as well as I always have my backup with me, or we would be in big trouble. So, I'll turn this on now that I told you that, because I didn't want that to be recorded. Professional. Okay. Okay, so, I'll just pray before we begin. Father God, I just ask for your help tonight in putting across your word and what it is that you're trying to teach us and show us in this part of the I Am. Tonight I am the shepherd. You are Shepherd King. I ask you, Lord God, please to guide me and help my mouth deliver your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're reading from John chapter. The person that wrote this morning must have a bigger head than me. We're reading from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 7. 11 to 16. But before I go there, I'm going to tell you a little of where we are. We've done three I Ams already. We've done I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus said, I am the door, which Taddy did last week. And I have had his songs in my head all week. I was traumatized only a year ago or so by Frozen. My youngest daughter was chosen to sing in GB at the front of those songs, and I'm telling you, she's got a voice like mine. Every time I hear Let It Go, I cringe. And then I had the misfortune of listening to it again this week, and then reminding myself again of the song, so I'm glutton for punishment. So this week I'm doing I Am the Good Shepherd. And actually I'm going to read before I do that. So I Am the Good Shepherd, chapter 10 and verses 11 to 16. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. So this week we're looking at Jesus, I am the shepherd. And as the video showed us at the start, you need to understand what a shepherd is and that they still exist today, and they were very important in the times of Jesus. And in our story tonight, we have two types of shepherd that are being used. In the Middle East, the shepherd was there to guide the sheep, protect the sheep, and to take them to pasture to feed their sheep. And the sheep were more than just animals to the shepherds. I mean, you could see in that video we watched earlier on that the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and they would turn to no one else but that singular voice. They became his friends. He knows them and he loves them. And by name in turn, he knows every one of them. And I'm sure every shepherd knows something different about each of the sheep. Now, you all know I'm a bit weird. Rachel keeps telling me, Daddy, you're weird. This week, and all week long, preparing this talk, has anybody seen the advert for You're So Super Money Market?
Yes.
Have you seen the big bad wolf? Do you want to see a few moves? But all week I've had that advert and the big bad wolf and your man doing all the break dancing. And it's been in my head all week long, and listening about the big bad wolf and how much of it we hear about. So we've got it in an advert at the minute. We've got the big bad wolf, and you look at Little Red Riding Hood. Of course, he tries to eat Grandma. Then you've got the three little pigs, and he tries to blow down their houses in turn. And then you have Peter and the wolf. And the big bad wolf has been around for generations, and it's been well spoke of. And you know, my little daughter Rachel, she is frightened of wolves. She thinks they exist everywhere, but yet she's got two wee wolves that she keeps, Big Wolfie and Wee Wolfie, and they protect her at night. And I keep saying to her, Rachel, you've got this the wrong way around. The wolves eat you. And she seems to think by having them in her bed that will somehow save her. And the thing about the wolf is that in the Bible it's referred to a few times, the wolf who would destroy or ravage the flock. So hopefully we'll be able to bring through the big bad wolf as we go through this. I had a wonderful picture, if you all use your imagination. What it is lovely pastures of green with trees. And on this side we have the shepherd and a beautiful young woman. And on this side we have the sheep who've wandered, disappeared into somebody else's field and met the pot. And the image is a very famous painting, and it's the portrait of the hireling shepherd. And in this very attractive picture, we have the image of a man who has just disregarded his flock, left them to wander into somebody else's property, and he is in the arms of a lovely red-headed lady. And the thing about this is that it breaks two boundaries. First boundary is that his sheep should not be on somebody else's land or property, and the second one is that he should not be having this woman in his arms at this time. The image is meant to illustrate the couple that symbolise much more than what I've just tried to portray you, and I don't know what's in your minds from that image I've put in your head. But the image is meant to illustrate that the couple symbolise theological debate, which has preoccupied the Christian church throughout the generations, which is that the church leaders were more preoccupied with theological debate and worrying about what was right and what was wrong in their arguments than they were about the flock and the sheep that they're meant to be guiding. So this painting has become quite famous for that. So the hireling shepherd, I'm going to look at the bad shepherd first of all. This is the kind of shepherd that still exists in this kind of church today. He hasn't went away. Many are wolves in sheep's clothing. I've heard on many an occasion how a minister of a church is there because it's a well-paid job with a nice house. He's well looked after by the people in the congregation, but yet he is not a confessing or a follower of Jesus, not a confessing Christian. But many are going to these colleges to do this to get a good job. They are in effect a kind of wolf in sheep's clothing. And Matthew 7:15 tells us to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The thing about the image tonight that you saw in the video was that the sheep wouldn't go to anyone else except for the one that would call and they recognized his voice. Sheep depend upon their shepherd. They love their shepherd, they follow him and him alone. So whenever a shepherd comes in, and the sheep are becoming more attached to that shepherd, no matter what he's going to do, those sheep think that that shepherd is always going to look after him, look after them. And they're going to follow that shepherd no matter what. And in the eyes of the wee sheep, that shepherd can do no wrong. If he was to lead them into a pack of wolves, they would probably still be following, thinking, well, my shepherd's going to look after me. No harm is going to come to me. They believe the complete opposite of what might be happening. So the hireling shepherd is one who walks the walk and he talks the talk. These shepherds look good, they sound good, and they act the part. They have all great doctrinal, solid teaching methods. They know the word of God. They're very charismatic, goodwill. You see lots of them on television, on the Godless channel. They appear to be everything that a perfect pastor would be. So if you look at me, Taddy and Dave, and if you look at the ones on television, we probably don't come up to their charismatic, wonderful, goodwill, loving kind of characters that they have. But these kind of shepherds only have one goal. They have one aim, and that aim is to exalt themselves and to have their sheep glorify them, to want to see themselves as being made wonderful and to be the kind of perfect shepherd. Above everything else, they want the sheep not just to think they're wonderful, but they want those sheep to be fearful of him. Doesn't that sound terrible? To have a shepherd that you would be fearful of, someone that you must obey and that you must follow without question, that control and manipulate for their own game. These are the kind of shepherds that, if they get into churches, look for their own gain. In the passage we've read, it says the hireling who is a shepherd, one who does not own his own sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Quite a perplexing little verse that, because you wonder what it means. What's he talking about? He's going to leave the sheep and they're going to scatter, and in the big bad wolf, he's going to come and get them. Well, the hireling will abandon the sheep when the dangers come. He does not care about the three basic principles of being a good shepherd: guarding, guiding, and feeding. The shepherd flees when danger comes, and he does not care for the sheep. Why is that? Because the people don't understand what it is they should be fearful of. They haven't been taught properly. They've been taught the doctrines or the ways that shepherd wants them to be taught and to be led. He hasn't taught them other things that they should be wary of, other parts of the Word of God that they need to know. And so when something happens, they are not prepared because they've been indoctrinated in one way and one way alone. So when something terrible comes, the hireling shepherd scatters, the sheep are left not knowing what to do, they're scattered, and then you've got the big bad wolf, who we know in the Bible refers to Satan. And he will come in and he will seek to destroy the congregation if it's been scattered, or individuals, and he will pick them off. The hireling shepherd will not care about his flock when he leaves. They do not want the sheep to think for themselves. They do not want those sheep to be able to question that shepherd. They do not want the sheep in any way to come against his authority. He would rather have them in submissive positions and abusive positions, which of course are completely wrong in God's eyes. So the hireling shepherd abandons the sheep when danger comes. He teaches the sheep his ways, and he uses fear tactics to do this. There was a movement, and I've had this conversation two or three times this week, incidentally, that I had heard nothing about, called the shepherding movement. I think it was the 70s and into the 80s it came, and I don't know a whole lot about it, and I don't want to dwell on it too much. But it was a kind of movement where certain hierarchy pastors would be able to have other shepherds set below them, and they had a tier system. And the people who were involved in this, and the churches involved in this, were quickly brought into a position where they had to do certain things. They had to be submissive in certain ways, and they had to, submit the authority and help one another out. And that was a sort of good thing to begin with, but the more and more I read into it, the more and more it led to misuse of authority, abuse of authority. It hurt many families. It split partnerships and families up, and relationships were broken. A lot of hurt was caused, and a few of the people involved in this movement came out and apologized or repented for the very bad abuse that took place. And the thing about this kind of shepherding was the abuse that took place, that it could not be questioned. There was always denial. There was what you call the silence of the lambs. Taddy once preached in this passage, I think. The lambs were kept in subjective ways. They weren't allowed to question the authority. And if they did, their character was assassinated. They were accused of all sorts of things. The sheep were kept as second-class sheep. You're the dumb old sheep. I'm the very clever pastor. And you do what I tell you. This is the kind of shepherd that exists, and it exists still to this day in some sort of churches and setups. We need to be really, really careful of our pastors and the people leading us. Tally, I know, Dave, I know, and me, we would never lord anything over anybody in here. We don't see us above anybody else. We have a privileged position in helping to lead and to open God's word and to do what we're doing, but in no way would we ever try to take the position of Jesus, replace, or try to make you to follow us? This is not about the Taddy and Dave and Keith. church. It's about us just showing you and trying to teach what God has shown us, but we would never try and manipulate or control anyone. So I want to contrast that, the bad shepherd, if you like, with the one who calls himself the good shepherd. It's not just that I am the shepherd, he calls himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is the only true good shepherd. He is the only one that we should be following day after day after day. We should hear no one else's voice but the voice of Jesus. The thing about Jesus is that we can call upon him and we know that he will answer us. He will not leave us or flee from us or abandon us. He is our good shepherd, the one that we call to. He calls us and we hear him because he knows my name. He is the good shepherd who gives us life for the sheep. And what that means is that he willingly died for the sheep. He willingly went to the cross so that we would have the opportunity to believe in Jesus, to repent of our sins, and through him enter into God's presence, to know God the Father, and that will, of course, tally cord that through, I am the door. No one knows the Father except through me. No one can enter that door unless you first enter through me, unless you first accept me as your Savior. He laid down his life for me tonight. And that's an amazing thing to consider. That I'm up here preaching on something that Jesus has already done for me. And the great thing about this shepherd king is that he will never manipulate me. He will never control me. He will never abuse me. He will never demand something of me that is not right. I will never bow a knee to another. I only have one shepherd and I will follow his voice and I know his name and he knows my name. Psalm 23, which of course we sang at the very beginning of tonight. It's the psalm above all psalms that tells us about the good shepherd. And the very first line tells me that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, that's just summing everything up. He is going to meet my every position, my every provision. He is going to be with me no matter what. He is going to lead me. He is going to help me rest. He is going to restore my soul. He is going to see me through the difficult times, the shadow, through the valley of the shadow of death. We've looked at before. I will fear no evil, even if there is a pack of wolves waiting for me, because my shepherd will not abandon me like the hireling shepherd. He is going to, even if there's a big pack of wolves, I will follow Jesus through the wolves. And I can tell you, I've been through some packs of wolves in the last 15 years. I will fear no evil. He anoints my head with oil. He cares for me. He wants to love me. He wants the best for me. He will cover me always. And the anointing of oil can also be seen as the anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life, the one we've talked about who dwells within us. And then it says at the very end of that psalm that I will dwell with him forever. That is the great hope that I have when I pass from this world. So contrasting the two types of shepherd is amazing. The hireling shepherd, he has his own ways, his own means, his own desires. And the good shepherd, he only has my desire, my heart, and my good for me. So tonight, we are to be aware of the big, bad wolf. Whenever the church is being scattered, maybe we've had a bad shepherd, it's happened through churches before, the big, bad wolf is waiting to pick off the weaker in the congregation. He wants to seek to maim, to destroy the sheep. His intention is to scatter them and to pick the flock off one by one. Satan goes around as a ravenous wolf. I'll give you a funny a little insight into my beginning of my Christian life. Dave and Taddy must have been really concerned about me. I must have been a bit of a rough sheep when I first showed up. And you can rest assured, I used to giggle. You can rest assured every Friday night at about 7 o'clock I get a text message from either one of them. They must have said it's your turn this week, make sure he's not doing it. And the text message would usually read, be sure your adversary the devil goes around as a roaring lion. And I used to read that thinking, what kind of dives do you think I'm going to? But I know, and I know now looking back, but they were more than just friends than leaders. They were my shepherd and they were making sure, or trying to make sure the best that they could, that I was a young Christian, I was a young sheep. And I was still hanging about with some people and going out, and they were making sure that I wasn't going to fall or get caught or get picked off. And those little helpful reminders that I would get were in my brain the whole night. You know, it was like, ah, just ruined my night. You know, because the next thing I'd be thinking about is the fell on this roof. You've been looking about, and it just showed me, and actually just reflecting back, that I've always had shepherds. They're still my shepherds to this day. And they still guide, and they still protect, and they still help me, and I can go to them. And, you know, they're good. They're good shepherds, and they've always been good to me. So it's very important that maintains in a church like this. So tonight's statement is this. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I thought about it, and I turned it around. And the question to me, from me to you, is, from Jesus to me, is, am I your shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But he said, am I your shepherd? Is Jesus my shepherd? Yes, he is. Is he everybody's shepherd in here? I think so. But many listening might be thinking, well, he's not my shepherd. And the Bible talks about all like sheep have gone astray, everyone turning to their own ways. But we all, many people are walking this world as they want. They're doing their own things. They don't worry about the shepherd. They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about what's going to catch them out or what's going to happen. But all I can say is that we have a shepherd who is a good shepherd. And if we turn to him, because he is the shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep, and if we accept him, if we turn to him, accept him, believe in him, and repent of our sins, then he is the shepherd who's going to stay with me throughout my life. The question tonight is Jesus your shepherd? And I would urge any who hear this to accept him as your shepherd, because he is the only one who can shepherd you through this life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight that the promises that you've given us, even in Psalm 23, and all the good things that you've said for us, thank you, Lord, that we are never alone in this life, that we have a shepherd who's always caring for us and looking out for us, going before us. And I thank you for Jesus and for everything that he has done for me, that he laid down his life even for me. I ask you, Lord, to bless us tonight as we leave here, knowing, Lord God, that you're already preparing our way this week. There's nothing you don't already know. No outcome, and no surprises. But help us, please, to put our trust in you, our shepherd, to hear your voice and to walk in your ways. And Lord, that we would never run to the voice of another. We would never get easily caught up with another. But Lord, help us to keep you foremost in our minds and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.